Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
Today we're going to be dealing with a subject that I have thought a lot about but never put in any kind of systematic biblical pattern. I've thought about it a lot because I guess to some extent I've reacted against it. The title of my message is A Theology of Christian Dress. You know, man has really been enamored with clothes ever since the Garden of Eden. Just think of all the variety and forms that men and women clothes have taken in your memory, much less in history. Think of some of the exotic and bizarre and rather plain things that seem to come through the pike of fashion, even in our own day. Men have always been extremely conscious of what they wear and of what they say by what they wear. Clothes and apparel make a social statement about us, about our views, about who we think we are, about what we want to be thought of as. I really appreciate the church giving me a black suit. And I want to ask you a question. Say you were visiting the first time in this church, and you saw me in my bright red suit. Or you were visiting for the first time and you saw me in my black suit. Would I convey the same image to you? Not at all, if you didn't know me. What I would wear would make a definite statement about who I am, what I think about myself. Clothes really make a powerful social statement. Let me see if I can back that up with a few examples. In the Old Testament, if you saw a person with the front of their clothes ripped, what would you think immediately? Mourning. Either a funeral or sickness or something, but mourning. What if you saw somebody in biblical times dressed in white? What would you think? Wedding. Wedding. The happy garments of the wedding feast. Many times the colors that we wear speak very loudly. Now, of course, the last few years our culture has moved into very bright colors, and they don't say as much as they used to. But there was a time where color spoke as loudly as style. Maybe that's changed some, but that used to be the case. My early upbringing was enamored with certain kind of clothes. As a teenager, a black leather jacket was a very important symbol to me. Groups identify themselves by what they wear, be it a motorcycle gang or be it the clergy. Why do certain religious groups wear certain kinds of clothes that everybody can spot them in 300 yards? I kid Jim Blagg a lot about that all the city officials wear black striped suits every day. It's almost their uniform, isn't it? The army, you know immediately what branch of the army is a person in, is in by the clothes they wear. The clothes speak about a identifiable group in our society. Nurses. Shoot, I can tell a worker at McDonald's a mile away. Clothes say a very loud something. Now, with that being true, and I'm assuming you're agreeing with me, that clothes say something about us to our society, to our culture. They identify us with a certain group. I'm assuming you buy that with me. Then let's move on to the second step. Major scriptural passages that relate to clothing. And before I do that, I want to say a word to you. The Bible is a human and divine book. It is the God-breathed revelation of Himself, but it has been transmitted through sinful human instruments. It was also transmitted into a particular culture in a particular day with a particular form of dress. We want to communicate the universal truths for every generation that is contained in the Bible. We do not want to pass on cultural patterns of the day in which the revelation was given. We're so fond of saying we want to be a New Testament church. Does that mean that we have to wear the clothes of the first century Judaism to be a first century church? Would we have to have slaves and sandals to truly be biblical? Of course not. Of course not. Now, with that in mind, I want to look at the first passage in the Old Testament that I think has caused tremendous problems in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it'll give us a perspective on exactly what I mean by cultural patterns versus universal truth. I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Took me forever to find this passage. I knew it was in there somewhere, I just couldn't find it. A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. I want to ask you a question. How many times in your life have you been confronted with the social, religious problem and dilemma of, should I wear pantsuits to this church or not? Let me see your hands real high so I can tell me. How many of you have been? Okay. I remember we were going to Argentina. We had to write the people in Dallas. Now, what is appropriate for women to wear in Argentina? They said dresses only. Pantsuits are inappropriate to the churches of Argentina. Now, I know many times when Peggy and I, when I used to preach around some, when I was in college, she would always feel uncomfortable wearing what we would wear at our home church, because she never knew the philosophy of the particular church we were going to. Now that says two things. Number one, churches set a social standard for dress. And number two, sometimes we radically misinterpret the Bible. Why would I say that? This is a perfect example of us reading our cultural definitions into a biblical text without exegeting the biblical text. In the Old Testament and in Jesus' day, the clothing didn't change much for the common person. No one wore pants. Men didn't wear pants. They wore robes. Guess what women wore? Robes. The only difference was not the cut of the clothes, but the ornamentation on the clothes. Men's clothes tend to be rougher and plainer, and women's clothes tend to be more ornate. That was the only difference. The only difference. Now do you see how totally inappropriate even the question of a pantsuit in a Baptist church, quoting this verse, is completely irrelevant to the point of absurdity. We are trying to pass on social distinctions in our own day and proof text it on a biblical text that has zilch to do with what we're talking about. Now, if you'll look at the context of Deuteronomy 5, you'll notice something. It is in the context of prohibitions against mixing certain things. You can't sow a field with two kinds of seeds. You can't work a team of animals with two kinds of animals. You can't mix wool and flax together. You can't mix materials. Now, if we're going to be dogmatic about women not wearing men's clothes, every one of us who have a piece of clothing with cotton and polyester mixed, let's take it off and burn it. Because the same biblical authority that says women don't wear men's clothes is the same passage that you should not mix materials. And you shouldn't plant different seeds in one garden patch. Lo and behold, maybe we have overstated our case. How easy it is to read our cultural want-tos into the Bible. Now, I think the basis behind this is we feel like that it is appropriate and inappropriate that Christians wear certain things in certain places. Isn't that the reason behind all of this? So let's continue and see if we can find any appropriateness. And I think there certainly is. But I don't think it's in that area. Okay. I think, by the way, before I leave that, women wearing men's clothing or vice versa in the Old Testament was associated with religious practices of the Canaanite and surrounding people's idolatry. We learn from history how this happened. And really, if Moses was saying anything there, he was saying, watch out for idolatry. He really wasn't commenting on the dress of his day. Okay. I want to mention a book to you before I move to the New Testament. Some people can proof text the Old Testament and prove anything about social life. You know that? You can almost prove anything from the Old Testament if you want to. One of the best books in my own life that have helped me to interpret the Old Testament, I think, appropriately and in context, is a book called The Authority of the Old Testament by John Bright. I believe it's available in paperback now. It's from Abingdon Press. This is an excellent book. If you've never read this, you ought to read this. It may be in our library. The Authority of the Old Testament by John Bright will really help you as you look at the Old Testament and try to apply it to our day. The second thing I want to come to is the scriptures in the New Testament that talk about clothing. And the first one that comes to my mind, I want to know if Jesus said anything about clothing. And he only did on one occasion. Now, he mentioned clothes here or there, but only one time that he really, I think, said something that had some teeth in it as far as applicable to our day. And that's found in the Sermon on the Mount. And I've taken it out of Luke 12:23. And you might want to turn there with me to Luke 12:23 to see the context of what Jesus is saying. Luke 12:23. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And then he goes into the ravens and the plants. Implication of that, we should not be anxious. We should not be anxious about what we eat. We should not be anxious about what we wear. God knows that we need these things. But all our worry can't provide them. God does provide them to the simplest creatures. Therefore, our attitude about necessities is important. Now, I think we need to possibly stop for a moment and say, what is necessary in the realm of clothing and apparel? I don't know how many suits I have, but boy, I have a bunch. I don't know how many shirts I have. But I don't have any room for any more in my closet. You know, I think we think if we don't have 42 pair of undershirts that we may get caught short. If we don't have 46 pair of socks, three of each color, they may be dirty when we need them. You know, how much clothes is appropriate? Where do you draw the line? How many suits do we need? How many dresses are necessary? How many gold chains are appropriate? How many rings do you need to have available to match the colors of your clothing? Jesus was saying, look, I'll take care of what you need. But we've gone far beyond what we need. The truth of the matter is that we are a very spoiled, self-centered, luxury-oriented people. Now, the other two passages that I think are quite specific about the area of clothing is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy 2, 9 says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly, discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works as befit women making a claim to godliness. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 specifically. And let not your adornment be external only, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, the putting on of dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And you say, well, why is it picking on women? Roman culture would not allow a lady to have a normal part in the flow of social life. She was pretty well ostracized to her own home and excluded from any kind of social interaction. The men did not dress as ornately, usually, as the women. So the Bible usually speaks to the women, but it's also applicable to the men, especially of our day. In the Roman world, women used to spend hours and hours and hours on hairdos. The big fad for Roman women was to buy a blonde wig from the Germanic tribes or a purple wig. I don't know where they got the purple one from. But I mean, if you really wanted to be uptown, it was a purple wig with gold combs. The Romans loved pearls. Pearls, there's a lady's hairdo in the old, mentioned in the Roman annals and histories of one of the Caesar's wives who appeared in public one time with a hairdo that had $1.5 million estimated of jewelry in it. And they would build it up one layer after another layer after another layer after another layer. Now, it is in that context that Paul and Peter speak to a Christian theology of dress. I want you to remember that the word sensible, or the word that's mentioned in 1 Timothy, is a word that means self-controlled or not given to excess. And with that in mind, I want to move to my theological conclusion, if I could. And I want you to be prepared for God to speak to you. Number one, clothes and apparel are one of many aspects of our lives that reflect who we are and what we think about ourselves. I could change the word we to our church, couldn't I? Clothes and apparel are one of the aspects of our daily life that let us express ourselves and who we think we are to others. Clothes speak very loudly who we think we are. Clothes are a social statement. In the Christian church and in Christian commitment, we need a balance between the twin poles of freedom versus responsibility. I want you to know in Jesus Christ, I can wear what I want to wear. Thank you. I know you don't like that, but it is true. In Jesus, I can wear what I want to wear. But in Jesus, of course, I don't. Because Christianity is a balance of freedom of all things, limited for the sake of others. Must be a balance in Christian clothing between what I can do and what I will do. Secondly, the clothes that we choose, listen to me, speak very loudly about the priorities of our life. What do I mean by that? Well, let me make one more statement, then I want to come back. We are a pampered, selfish, spoiled, extravagant, pleasure and comfort-oriented people. We have a tendency to say to ourselves, I made the money, I can spend it on what I well please, thank you. That is not true. Our tendency is to buy the most expensive and so many we can't ever wear them clothes. What does it say about a man who wears the most expensive suit available and a carat and a half diamond stick pin and a $500 watch and the most expensive shoes that are available. And he has four sets of them, almost one for each day of the week. What are we trying to say to the world about who we are? What does it say about a woman who spends hours and hours and hours and hours of her week looking for clothes? What does it say when men wear clothes that show off their muscularity, or women wear clothes that are immodest and show off their sexual organs? What does it say about our young people who try to buy blue jeans four sizes too little and then take 3 hours to get in them? What does it say? What is it trying to say to people around us about who we are? What are we trying to do with our clothes? Are we trying to impress folks that we are successful? Are we trying to make ourselves feel better than someone else because we're able to buy clothes? Why has Easter, the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the church, turned into a fashion show of who can outdo who? What under God have we done with the way we dress? It's no longer modesty and decency. It is extravagance and a terrible amount of money. Why do we do that? It's because we are selfish people. Clothes are just one aspect of the total theology of our lives that we express ourselves with. The kind of car that you buy says something about who you are. The kind of house that you live in says something about who you are. The kind of clubs that you join say something about who you are. The clothes you wear say something about who you are. Your peer group says something about who you are. And under God, I want to ask you, what are you saying with your social life to a lost world about Christianity? Be careful of two extremes. Have you ever been to a place that you really felt like you overdressed? Now, I very seldom have that problem. But I went to a meeting. I'm married also. And I went to a meeting and they said, you better wear a suit. Everybody's going to be wearing a suit. You better wear a suit. You'll be so out of place, you better wear a suit. I said, all right, I'll wear a suit. I got there and I was the only fool in a suit. And I felt so out of place. I kind of, you know, but there's another extreme. Sometimes we really want to impress folks by just putting on the dog. You know, I've seen ladies go to the grocery store that would have fit perfectly in a Hemp Hill Wells style show. You know what I'm talking about? Now, the other side of the coin is true also. Some people tend to underdress. That sounds bad, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, when I was running around with some motorcycle guys, their great pride was how long it's been since they washed their colors. You know, little jackets with no sleeves, have a little emblem on the back. The more they smell, the greater the honor. You think I'm kidding, don't you? You know, if you can go 4 years without washing them, at least don't get them in the rain, because that'll, you know, let those things stink. It's a badge of pride. Used to, in the early church, the monks used to not wash their clothes either. And you know how they told a real spiritual monk? The number of lice that fell off of him when he walked. Now see, that is saying something as real as overdressing. Now I don't want to get real critical, but there are Christian groups that dress in particular ways. Are there not? Some people stick out in a crowd like a sore thumb because of how they dress, either underdressed or overdressed. And the godly perspective is, don't stick out. We need to be appropriate and becoming and clean and neat in the culture of our day. If we dress so as to draw attention to ourselves, it is a sure mark of a spiritual problem. pride or arrogance, or the other side may be true, poor self-image, manipulation. Why are we dressing to stand out? It is not the clothes that make the person. Oh, under God, how many times have I heard in the church, we need to wear our best to church. God wants our best. Yes, God does want your best, but that does not mean your socks. He wants your life. And when we as a church put the dressing standard so high that actual people made in the image of God don't feel comfortable in our midst, and we call it spiritual, it is horrendous sin. You read James, you heard him say how often we would bring the millionaire down to the front, pat him on the back, send the deacon chairman by, kiss his foot. And the poor guy, we'd say, look, man, here's a piece of paper. Don't mess up our pew. Why don't you come back on Sunday evening? We don't dress as well then. God help us. What have we done in our prideful arrogance with clothes, but closed the church's door to many people in the name of dignity and honor and worship? God help us. We need to dress in style if we can afford it. And we need to dress somewhat plain. Let me mention a couple of more things. What draws attention to ourselves should be Christ's life in us, not the color or the cut from our own society. If people just like you because of what you wear, probably they don't like you much. I think it's important that we realize that we are stewards of everything we have. To spend 20% of what you make on clothes is a very poor stewardship of who you are in Jesus Christ. You say, I've made it, I can spend it. That's a lie. The day you came to be a child of God through Jesus Christ, you laid your life on the sacrificial altar of obedience to Him. Your life is not your own. Your socks are not your own. They belong to Him. It reminds me, analogously, and I hope I don't step on too many toes. Well, shoot. I know some people who spend 30 hours a week tending their lawns. There is not a blade of grass out of row. They planted them in a row. There's 300,000 of them in a row. Every rose bush is trimmed. There is nothing out of place. 30 hours a week. You give it 2 weeks and you couldn't tell a man's been in that yard. And we spend all of our time doing those kind of things. The same is true of clothes. If we put an inordinate amount of time or money or effort or thought into clothes, we are taking it away from the priority commitments of the Christian life, which is ministry and service. Every part of our life, that includes. We are a people that are self-oriented in everything, everything, everything. We never think about our responsibility. We're always pushing our rights. We're always spending all we have, and you know it's true. You get a raise, and you'll spend that raise. You get another raise, you'll spend that raise. There never seems any money left for the kingdom of God unless you're very wealthy, and then it's just excess, which doesn't really cut into your sacrificial needs. God wants us to self-limit ourselves for the glory of God. That right there ought to tell you that there is something wrong when the people of our church wouldn't last a day without an air conditioner in their home, and they will not give for the church of God to meet. Now that ought to show priority. We aren't sacrificial about anything except hamburgers. And we just eat a bunch of them. God, help us. When will we wake up to the selfishness, pride, arrogant, egotism, squandering of our modern lifestyle in America? We waste more in our lives than 10 people have outside this country. And we're always looking for more and more and more and more and more and more. The key is not the dress, but the attitude about God, ourselves, and others. You know, I really think we so enjoy modern Christian jewelry. We'll buy a gold cross that costs $150 to wear on our lapel so everybody will know we're Christian. Doesn't that smack of the satanic? We buy the most expensive gold jewelry so people will know that we're a Christian. And you don't think the evil one has invaded our priorities and our culture? Friends, we say something about what we wear. How many diamond rings or enough diamond rings? How many, ladies? How many carats are appropriate? And what are you trying to say to folks? What are you trying to say to folks about yourself, about your church, about your God, in the way you live and dress? Attitude is the key. And I want to stop here just for a moment. And I want to share a personal experience with you. I love bright clothes. I hope it's not because I have a tremendous ego problem and just want to draw attention to myself. I hope I just like bright clothes. But a while back, someone said, you know, a friend of mine visited your church on a Sunday that you wore your red suit. And it really turned him off. And I put my red suit in the closet until special days where I can get away with it, like Valentine's Day and Christmas. You see, if I turn one person off by the clothes that I wear, even though I do love them so, I will not wear those clothes again. Now you see, he didn't know the attitude of my heart. I really try to make a social statement by what I wear. You'll never catch me in this black suit except for a wedding and a funeral after today. You know why? If you want a pastor that wears a black suit, there are numerous ones in this town from all denominations, and they'll be happy to fit your lifestyle and your image of what a pastor ought to be. But God has given me a unique calling to reach the people that the guy in the black suit can't reach. And it is important for me to be who I am in Jesus Christ as it is for them to be who they are in Jesus Christ. I'm not condemning them, and I hope you're not condemning me. There are people that I reach in a sports shirt that I would never, ever be able to break down the barrier of pastor to any other way. Now, you pray about who you are, and you dress appropriately. But you keep your bony finger out of my life. The same is true of others. Pray for the Spirit of God to lead you into who you really are. If you're a successful businessman, and you dress that way to reach other businessmen, God bless you, more power to you. I hope that the style is appropriate to your peer group, that you will penetrate that peer group for Jesus Christ. But if you're dressing just so you'll be one of the Joneses and be able to get a corporate advance, I think you have the wrong motives. We dress just as we live in Jesus Christ. I would like to read in closing Proverbs. Again, it deals with ladies' dress, but I think it's applicable to all of us. Proverbs 31:30, which says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We will stand before God for the stewardship of our time, the stewardship of our money, the stewardship of our talents, and the stewardship of our clothes, as well as our speech, as well as our lifestyle habits, as well as our priorities. We will give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ as His church. We project as much of an image with what we wear as anything else that we say in this congregation. And I personally thank God that the kids at Tech and our young people and the poor people who are a member of our congregation do not feel uncomfortable in coming to church in what they have on. I'd rather have a church full of people who have a right attitude about God than I had everyone having a brand new suit and a brand new dress. I'm just glad people are what's priority with God and not what they wear. And maybe you need to rethink some of your attitudes and get them more in line with a serving spirit, a non-condemning spirit, and a ministry spirit, and it may change this whole church. Let us attempt to be pleasing to Him who had only one robe all of His life, and when He died, they gambled for it. Lord, it is so easy to live our own lives without thought of You. It is so easy to make Christianity a one-day-a-week social event. It is so easy to be judgmental toward others that aren't like me. Oh, Lord, open the eyes of our heart that we might see that everything we do and say and have says something about You. Lord, forgive us for self-oriented, pleasure, luxury-oriented lifestyles. Forgive us when You give us more and we spend it on ourselves. Forgive us when we don't know what the word sacrifice means, much less ministry. Forgive us when we spend all that we have on me and mine, and throw a little at Your church every now and then. Oh God, we're getting bigger and bigger houses and better cars, fancier and fancier clothes, but we're not getting any closer to You. We're not getting any more like You. We're not reaching more people. We're not witnessing with our mouths or with our lives. We're just becoming more and more selfish and more self-centered, more and more arrogant and judgmental. God, break our hearts, we pray, over the arrogance of our minds and of our bodies and of our friends and of our group. Lord, help Your church in this day not be as Your church of old that was more concerned with the money and the business and the prestige. Help us realize that Your house is a house that's open to all people. And if we put barriers up of clothes or money or manners, that we are so far out of the will of God for our lives. Oh God, it's so hard to break down the cultural barriers that have been around us so long. And the crippling inroads of the evil one as he perverts our putting others to the forefront and putting ourselves to the back. Forgive us when we push our rights and our opinions instead of laying down our rights and serving others in love. Lord, clothes is only one small aspect of who we are, but oh God, what are we in our day? What are we? Amen.